Blog Talk Radio.
I had to kind of think. I have several shows that I host. I had to kind of think about it for a second, but it's all good. We're gonna have a ball tonight. As I said during the introduction, the quiet time that we do to bring the show to you, what we call housekeeping. Just relax, enjoy yourself. If you're about to get to your dinner or finishing up with your dinner, just get in your recliner and just relax. We're gonna talk some things on the Real Relationship Talk Show entitled The Dr. Low Show. I am the relationship guru with no filters. We're going to come at you really hard tonight. We want you to be really in sync. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to call in, and the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 if you want to chat with us and just share your thoughts with us, because we'll be asking you for what? We ask you for your location. It's not important when you get your name. If you choose to leave your name, it's fine. Then offer your comments, your expertise. We're trying to rewind this thing to make sure we get where we need to be. Now, also, if you want to check us out on the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Then you want to ask how to email us. You can. You can email us at this is the Dr. Low Show at gmail.com or LorenzoDSmith15@gmail.com. You can check us out through both of those Gmail accounts. Now, if you're interested in tweeting the show, you can. You have @LorenzoDSmith15, @DrLowSmith with the number 1, @DrLorenzoSmith. At the number 1 in the show. If you want to check us out on Twitter, we're being broadcast on Twitter. It's @The Smith Way Production. And production is just PROD. So we're going to have a ball. So let's get ready to get this thing to make it to do what it's supposed to do. Now, what we want you to do also, we're being broadcast on Facebook. And Facebook, that's facebook.com/. Just remember, facebook.com/. Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. See, I had to slow it down. People say I've been going so fast, and I'm trying to slow it down and make sure you hear all the information so you can check us out on Facebook. So it's going to be an awesome night tonight. Feeling great about having the opportunity to come before you today. You know, God has blessed us to see another day. We give him praise, because before your feet hit the floor, you ought to be giving him praise. And once your feet hit the floor, meditate him in whatever moment and space you want to do, so you can share with God the moment and how the day you're expecting the day to be. And God will bless you, because that'll be your desire for the day. All right, let's kind of take an opportunity. I can see that, and I'm squeezing my finger really hard, and I see the 510 area code on there to make sure the co-host has joined us tonight. She's a special guest, but she's a co-host as well. We want to thank her for joining. That's Tina Robinson. Tina hails from Oakland, California. She's the CEO and founder of Owning My Own Truth, and she can share more about that, but I want her to come on and say hello to you right now. Tina, how you doing? Look, I thought that was her, so maybe she just kind of kind of lost the touch on that, but it's all right. We're going to have a ball tonight regardless. And as soon as Brother Pratt joins us in a minute, we're just going to make this thing happen. No, the title of our show tonight is What Do Black Love Mean to You? I'll say that again. What do black love mean to you? I want you to take an opportunity to think about it for a second. You know, what is black love to you? We're going to talk about that. We're going to take the opportunity to truly, truly investigate that. Some people really don't understand. First of all, you have to understand love. Love is a universal language that helps us all to define and come up with our own term about exactly how it relates to us. So we just said love in general is just a language, love language. And, you know, so it's part of a universal language. But we're talking about black love. See, ask yourself, what is the ingredients to having black love? First of all, you definitely have to have the blackness. And one thing we forget about, we cannot integrate with anybody else and say, this is black love. Black love is for our existence as a cultural, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So you ask your question, what do black love mean to you? What do black love mean to you? I'm going to click on I'm getting a request already. I'm just hope this is this Tina? Is this you, Tina?
I'm here. This is Tina.
Okay, thank you. I clicked on that, lost you for a second. We have, as I introduced earlier, Tina Robinson from out of Oakland, California. She's joining us tonight as a co-host as well as a special guest expert. Tina.
Yes.
Shout out. Let them know you're here.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to this amazing conversation about black love. Boy, do I know about that. I'm excited about this conversation. And thank you again, Dr. Doe, for inviting me. And I'm looking forward to this conversation.
And I'm so glad to have you on here, Tina. And truly, I'm glad to hear that. Some people may not understand that. You have to be able to say, I know what black love is to me. And that's what we want you to take the opportunity. When we ask that question, like we did, what does black love mean to you? Take an opportunity to think about it. What do it mean to you? As I say, it cannot exist truly, truly, unless we have to understand in our culture, when we're married, black, in love with black, just be honest. That's the only way we can identify black love. We can't be with any other culture and say it's black love, because black love is coexisting for us. It's for our existence. It's for us to be here, and we have to honor that, understand that, and honor that. You know, love is a unique thing, powerful, and we have to understand that. And when it's between a black male and black female, you will experience something that bring us back to our ancestors. I know some people say, okay, you're defining it in the way you see it. I am. In essence,
yes.
It's what it means to me.
You have to own your own truth, yes. Yes.
See,
yes.
It's what it means. Now, if it means different to you as I identify the gymnast, then that's, you know, I can't control that. But my point is what it means to me. It's when it's black love, it's unique. It's something that has created other cultures to try to infiltrate, try to get into the culture to find out exactly. Can you know, we talk about the love for each other, but the black power, the power we know when we come together and love one another. But we have to really have a good definition of love. See, we have to understand that when we're loving another person, especially as a male for me, and I feel like I'm a king, I'm loving a queen. And when I'm loving that black queen, I have a whole different understanding of what black love is, because I can see myself connecting for our cultural purpose. See, we have to look at our rich tradition. And when we look at the rich tradition and customs that we have, that's been passed down from generation to generation. It's been passed down. Sometimes we allow it to pass by us, but truly, truly, what we have to keep in mind that when it's passed down, some people say, well, I didn't see that in my family. You know what? Sometimes it's once you identify the self-love in you, you may be the generation to start it in your family.
Yeah.
We can't step away, but you have to understand what you're dealing with. Ask the question, what does black love mean to you? Tina, you want to jump in right there?
I sure do. Identify with black love from my rearing, from my Southern upbringing. I am a true California girl, but my rearing comes from Louisiana Lake Providence, from the late, great Reverend T.C. and Katie Mae Robinson of Oakland, California, Brookfield community. What is black love? To me, it is valuing the spirit within the individuals. Although my process of understanding what true love is was very challenging, in owning my own truth today, it really stems from valuing the spirit within the individual and the individual who knows their self-worth. And with individuals not being aware of, you know, what black love is, they don't know how to value their self or how to even have a love language, therefore even communicate through a genuine, compassionate way of being supportive and nurturing to individuals' behavior. Identifying with black love is with not understanding how individuals act out because of lack of knowledge or lack of self-worth. You have to go core deep. You really have to have the patience to genuinely want to help and be of purpose in one's life, you know, from your children on out to co-workers and whomever you socialize with. It was in my upbringing, the situation where being a young girl, I reached out to my father just for him to tell me he loved me. He didn't understand why I was so upset. I was like 15, 16 years old. And my father, being from the South and from obvious reasons for the way he was brought up, his reply to, well, why are you acting so crazy? Why are you crying? Why are you acting like that? I said, well, Daddy, I just need you to tell me you love me. He said, go turn on that light switch. Is the lights working? Mm-hmm. Go look in the refrigerator. Is food in there? I said, yes. He said, you have clean clothes? I said, yes. He said, now you mean to tell me I don't love you? I said, I just need to hear you say the words. And I'm just bawling, you know, crying hysterically. And he said, you mean to tell me if I just say the words I love you, you'll stop all this foolishness? I said, yes, Daddy. He said, you know I love you. That's how he talked from being from the South. And I immediately got myself together and walked off. And he was like, oh, my God. And just, you know, not only saying the words, I love you, but, you know, providing and being present, it's really more meaningful than individuals really, you know, pay. They may admit it's really more meaningful to, you know, really be mentally and physically available when you're talking about love. And I would be specific about Black love because of our different personal challenges that even our Black men alone had to face, you know, going back to our ancestors, our Black men, you know, being devalued and demasculined, or you know, we have to learn how to love one another past our own pain, you know, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, that makes plenty of sense, Tina. And I tell everybody, it, as we say, it love does, where you see love and experience love, it is at home. You know, one of the things I always say as I close out the show, I say, you know, tell somebody you love you. Tell your family member you love. But if you got that self-love for yourself, just share that with them. But when we're talking in our families, in our culture, things have been passed down from generation to generation. Customs have been passed down generation to generation. But one of the things that we know that held us together is love for one another and love for the Lord. You know, Black love. We saw, you know, moms, you know, loved us. We went through 400 years of, and still going through phases of pain. But we knew that from generation to generation that in our families we receive that confirmation. I call it confirmation. And some people say eventually affirmation. From the parents and the grandparents and the great-grandparents. You see the generations, how Black love has been passed down, being told by each one of them that I love you. And it's like when I'm told, that you love me, now I know I have an extra strength in me and something inside me so I can tell my children I love them.
Yes.
And then my children can tell their children they love them. And it can continue on. We're talking about ancestry. We're talking from years. It's not a question. You don't have to define and look up no definition for Black love. You live Black love every day because of the race and your culture. You live it every day. So it ain't about talking about loving so much somebody else. It's loving yourself. Black love is loving yourself. That's where you need to start, number one. I always tell people, I said, we have to be able to love ourselves, look in the mirror, and be happy who we are and project that out the way we carry ourselves. We don't need to continue to do the things that we do through frustration, you know, in the streets where we may go to the point of taking another person of the same color life, you know, because you're taking part of you. Because you should love that person because, you know, God said love your neighbors. You know, sometimes you have to love your enemies too because they'll get close enough that. Because love conquered all things. We got to remember that.
Yeah.
Love conquered all things. And Black love, I'm telling you, once you have a definition that fits you, Don't. I am talking about it. Tina's talking about it. And hopefully Brother Pratt can come on here and talk about it. But the point is, this is what it means to us. As Tina said, how she's with her father, you know, just hearing this is where we learn and we gravitate to attaining knowledge. And so we can move forward. So now we can tell our children. We may not have been told, and we finally was told, and we know it give us affirmation, but it also, I'm going to give it to my child. I'm going to give it to my grandchild. So Black love is what it means to you. Think about what it means to you.
I am a community advocate, and in highlight of COVID-19, I'm a part of amazing team, Emoja, from UCSF for cancer research. and Oakland Frontline Healers, we're actually going into the communities with pop-up testing sites and, you know, going to meet the people where they are. You have to have a certain air about the love and the compassion that you have in providing this service in order to help bring awareness for self-care. You know, you're meeting people where they are. They're on drugs, they're homeless or whatnot. They're, you know, may have a loss of hope, no value of life, but they're still above ground. And in these areas, this is where our black love is really, really needed when our people are wandering in the wilderness, you know, having been there, knowing what those tears look like, knowing what those frowns and those groans look like from pain of abuse or, you know, anything that just rendered anyone powerless. I'm here to tell you the truth is true unconditional love is healing to the mind, soul, and body. You know, if people, they don't really take the value of being kind and showing kindness to someone who's in a devastating situation. If we realize that, if we get back to the village of love, like even during this pandemic of COVID-19 or racial injustice, we can bring back more awareness of self-value. You know, we're not what they call us. We are who we believe ourselves to be in being of courage, despite what comes up against us, despite whatever our processes are. It's up to us as the individuals to strive for that individual love. And even going further to say, with my rearing, we didn't have a lot of material wealth, but we had a treasure chest of love and understanding our spiritual relationship, you know, trusting in the greater source of strength. Yes.
That's awesome, my dad. And that's what we have to kind of search deep down. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192, and we want to be a part of the show. Just press 1. I will identify the last 4 digits of your cell, our telephone number, to actually give you location, your name you choose to, then offer your comments about how you feel, what you think of black love, what it means to you. And that's what we're talking about, what it means to you. What does black love mean to you? You know, we can simply, some people may want to describe it, and they'll describe it as a potential bond. See, that's the key right there, a bond between African-American, black American, where we share our cultural and we share our history, and our history of husband and wife, what we have to keep in mind. So simply understand that. So what it means to you, it meaning us being able to bond, if it's bonding with our children, bonding with our parents, bonding with our extended family, bonding on a job with someone. And you continue to bond. See, first of all, again, you got to understand what love is. It is a universal language. And I go back to that. It's universal. And it conquers all things. And we have to keep that in mind. It conquers all things. Love does. Some people say love does what it do. And it will do a whole lot. But you have to believe in it. You have to believe in it. All right, let's kind of take this to another level. It's just taking another topic and say, what makes your black love work? I want everybody to ask themselves, what makes your love work? I said black love. If you're cultural, is African American, what makes your love work? We have to put in the work. So for love to work, you got to give effort.
Right.
For love to work, you have to be willing, open to it, not afraid of it. If love scares you, reassess yourself, because your definition of love needs to be adjusted. because love has nothing to do with fear. I don't have a problem. People can challenge me on that. Love, because we have to go back and look back and understand from the beginning of time when God in Genesis created heaven and earth, and he created Adam in his own image. Let's keep that in mind, his own image. Just look just like him. So you know you love what looked like you now.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. You love what looked like you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back. If you don't have a definition, take yourself spiritually back. Don't do it worldly. Because, see, if you go worldly, that's going to be different definition, because every time somebody gives you a definition, their own definition is for their sake.
Right.
And you have to be careful. Just go back to the Word. Go back to Genesis. And understand when God created Adam. And he gave him, you know, power over all things. He was able to walk through the Garden of Eden. So we are walking through the Garden of Eden now.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging, but love conquered all things. So, as we said, what make your world, your love work? First of all, I'm going to just tell you quickly me. It makes it work when I'm around people that can love me back. See, that's power right there.
Right, yeah.
When people love you back. See, if I'm up there, when love is radiating from my body, it's glowing from me, and it's taught you, if you're ready and you understand the love that you have, you reciprocate that. That's not love work. It don't work if you're not able to return it. Tina, you can get that right there.
If I could say what how love works for me is, like I said before, going back to the people, going to meet people where they are, and letting them know that, you know, their life matters, their voice matters, and to see and hear that, you know, they get it. You know, they get my truth and my openness, my transparency about the different unspeakable things that we have been forbidden to talk about. Traditional upbringing, what goes on in the house stays on in the house. And it's like, no, I'm breaking the silence. You know, this is, mm-hmm. I know where I've been, where you are, or close to it, and I understand your process. And in part mm-hmm. of your healing is acknowledging and being accountable of our wrongdoings in order to be open and willing, along with effort, to love ourselves in order to be able to love and you know, bring someone up out of their situation who's willing to come out of their situation. Like you said, Dr. Mm-hmm. Lowe, willing to do the work. You have to be willing to do the work to change your circumstances if you're unhappy. You know, love isn't always happy, but when you know confidently that you've done all that you could do to be a purpose in someone's life, you have to have peace within yourself that you've done all that you can do, and then the rest that's out of your control, you got to, you know, give that over to our higher power, whom I call my Father God, you know, through his son Jesus, who died for all of our sins. You know, in our imperfect way, in our perfect, being perfectly imperfect by design, you know, once individuals really understand the power of self-forgiveness, and only through self-forgiveness, mm-hmm. is through that you can authentically love yourself and others. Again, it all comes from the work. It all comes from, you know, being accountable for your own actions, and, you know, just willing to let go and let God. Again, do the work. Do the work. If you're not happy with a situation, you have to choose your happiness. You have to love your own self enough to say, hey, I have boundaries. You know, this is what I will and will not deal with. And again, you know,
exactly.
I'm loving you how I want to be loved. And
you know, pause and understand that some people just have emotional disconnect. And it's like, okay,
yeah.
We identified that you have an emotional disconnect. So let me share with you again, this is my love language. You know, showing compassion, being loyal, being reliable. You know, this is just something that is, you know, within me as a woman, a Black woman, and a survivor, you know, an overcomer. Mm-hmm. Despite everything that came up against me to break me, I go even harder to show and give love and true compassion. And, you know, every day isn't always perfect, but to get out on the other side of that imperfection and know that there is a genuine love inside of me, it's all worth the work. It's worth the appreciation, as you say, of knowing that, you know, someone values, you know, my time, my conversation,
exactly.
Me inputting into their spirit, you know, inputting, not draining, you know, from
mm-hmm.
you know, not draining their energy, but inputting life, inputting hope, inputting, you know, free will to do something different, to rewrite our story. You know, it goes,
there you go.
Towards doing the work. You have to do it in the midst of the uncomfortable process. That's what a lot of people don't understand. It's just like the pain sometimes of understanding what your love language is and how different it is with other people. It's that uncomfortable process that either causes people to go left or go right. Go right into your word, go right into prayer, go right into your self-worth, or go left and fall. No, we're going right. We're going right into the word of understanding who we are as individuals, if that makes sense.
Awesome. That makes perfect sense. And I'm telling you, the call-in number to be a part of this in the line, the board is filling up pretty fast, is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. You can chat and share your thoughts and just how you see Black love and what it means to you. How have it worked for you? How is it working for you right now? All of these things we already in touch on. Tina and I, we appreciate you for joining. For everybody who slowly is on the board, who's on Facebook, we appreciate you taking time. When we're talking about Black love and looking at some of the issues that are happening pretty much in our cultural or just generally dealing with Black love, because in the 21st century, Black love has taken a different look than the 20th century and the 19th century. And I just want everybody to think about that. And there are some issues that's coming up more so now that may or not come up in the 1900s or the 20th century. You know, one of the main issues who dealing with Black love, which we have eventually come up with a solution, is that, first of all, we got to begin to love our brothers and sisters in cases we are falling short at that. And when we are not loving one another, then it creates the problems that we're encountering in the 21st century. And so I tell everybody when I talk, I'm not trying to focus on any other culture but my culture. I'm being honest with that. You can call me whatever you want to call me, because I have to work on what I have to live with, what my children have to live with, what my grandchildren have to live with, or what my great-grandchildren may have to live with. We have to love one another. We can't have hate for one another. That's becoming an issue in our culture, and it's an issue in Black love.
Yeah.
We have to be able to do that. And when you want to love one another, you have to put the work in. See, I keep going back to putting the work in.
Yeah.
A healthy relationship comes in all kind of forms. In our culture, we're failing at having healthy relationships. Some people will agree, some people disagree, but there's no filters here. And let's be real, let's talk real talk now. You know, we're failing with the possibility of a healthy relationship. We talk about all the traits and characteristics of a healthy relationship. First of all, we said self-love. You know, we have to love ourselves before we can love anybody else. And in a relationship, again, is not just when you're talking about in a romantic relationship.
Right.
But you have a relationship in your family. You got to love yourself so you can love your brother and your sister, which is your biological brother and sister, no matter what happens. Some people use this term, you have heard it before, blood thickens water. Somewhere down the line, that is being reassessed with some people. They may not see it in that manner, but you're going to have to see it, because if your love for your brother and your sister, no matter what happened, you have to assess it. Some people say, it ain't like that all the time, man. They so wrong about what they did. Yes, yeah. Sometimes we do. We do overstep our boundaries. But we have to continue to have self-love for ourselves, and it can project out to my brothers and sisters. We have to focus on making sure when we're in these relationships, even whether it's romantic or just friendship or family, that we're honest with one another. See, honesty destroys any kind of love for a person. Now, black love, we simply can't survive being dishonest with one another.
Absolutely not. We have to
trust one another. I think that's one of the biggest things. We lack trust for each other, because we always say, you know, everybody had heard this thing, this crab in the barrel syndrome that we're supposed to have. Every time somebody get up, we pull them down. We try our best to pull them down. We do. But we have to trust them that if they're able to make, it's not by their own effort they're making, it's by God blessing them to be able to make it. And we can't understand it in that manner. They're going to make it so they can reach back and help some of us sometimes. But we start grabbing them and pull them down. We can't trust them to be the one up there, because we always want to be up there. But everybody can't be up there. You have to put the work in. It don't come easy. Don't ask for it if you don't think you're capable of doing it. We have to make sure we communicate with one another. Yes.
Yeah. So with owning my own truth, it came from that lack of trust, that embarrassment and intimidation of fear. Oh, you know, I'm the baby girl. I'm, you know, caught up in this abusive relationship on drugs and whatnot. And my twin, you know, when she sent for me to get the help that I needed, she grabbed me and she was like, before I let anything take you out, I will. But before that happens, you got to own your truth about what you're struggling with. You have to own with who hurt you and how it affected you. That's the only way you can get your true love, to love yourself, to no longer be hostage to judgment. So when you stand in your authority of owning your imperfections and owning your process, you take your power back. You can do that if you're willing to gain the love and receive the love that you so rightfully deserve. Because as long as we live in bondage and in hostage of our own thoughts and our own fear of judgment toward the things that we did when we were not in our right mind, you know, when we were going through our process, as long as we stay bound and hostage to that, you're never going to have any kind of love. But, you know, going to our history, our ancestors, we are the struggle. You know what I'm saying? We are the struggle. So in acknowledging that, that is a part of our true process, and understanding all of our struggles, our processes are different. As long as we own it and we stand up to, you know, how uncomfortable it made us feel, or how happy and pleased we are with who we are today, doing the work, we have to keep going back to doing the work. It's only in that process that we can heal and understand what true love is, what black love is. And I quote black love, because it is totally different from other cultures, because they didn't have the different struggles that we had. you know, black woman, black man, you know, being castrated, you know, being maimed,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
disfigured because of our difference, because of our authentic beauty. Now you look at, it's the $1 billion industry of emulating the black body part, you know, our swag,
mm-hmm.
the way we dress,
exactly.
the way we talk,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, going
mm-hmm.
back to owning my own truth is not just a mantra. It's a lifestyle for individuals to stand in their authority of who they are and what their process is. Judgment free.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about, right? That Tina has shared that and some awesome thoughts right there. But we have a caller on the line that said they want to share their thoughts. We have a couple of them, and I appreciate it. But we're going to take the last four digits of this number, which is 6091. You are now live. You can share your location or name if you choose to and offer your comments.
Hello, thank you. This is Genia from Atlanta, originally
Hello,
from California.
Gina.
Hello.
Just calling. Hello.
Hello.
Calling.
All right.
To show some love and talk about what black love means to me. And the first thing that you all have mentioned already is judgment-free, and it's
mm-hmm.
unconditional. And when you start from that place, that's an authentic love. Doesn't mean you won't be disappointed. Doesn't mean you won't get hurt. In that journey of loving an individual, but one key thing that was said tonight was about self-love, because many
mm-hmm.
people struggle with really understanding what self-love is. And you can ask people often, you know, you love yourself? And the answer is yes. But then when you ask them, well, what does that mean? What does that look like to you? They pause and they get stuck. So they don't really know how to articulate what self-love is or what true love is. And what I found in my journey is that when you're counting people that don't understand what self-love is, it's impossible for them to give it back, even if they want to. And it's their journey to do the work to learn how to experience self-love, to give self-love, and to walk in authentic forgiveness. We as individuals, we as melanated people, we carry hurt from and trauma
mm-hmm.
from our core, and
mm-hmm.
we don't understand it. We don't understand it, and now at this present date is time for us to become introspective, to do the work, to research our history, to understand where that core hurt comes from, if it's beyond ourselves, if it's from current traumas, you know, from childhood or things that we've watched our loved ones go through. We carry that, and then sometimes people make the mistake in saying, oh, it's generational. No, it's not, because if you're conscious enough to see what's going on and it doesn't make you feel good, then in that space, in truth, you can make a decision to not duplicate those mistakes. For example, people say alcoholism is hereditary. You have uncles, your aunties, you know, they all drink. Well, then you may not want to go to that, stop at that liquor store. You may not want to sit up at the bar, because if you see a trend in your family, you have to do something different to break that trend. And our children, a lot of times we as mothers, and especially single mothers, single fathers, we find ourselves so busy, so consumed with working to give our children the life that we didn't have, that we forget the essentials with sitting down and talking to our children, empowering our children, and speaking life, not, you know, telling them they're bad because they're acting out because they want attention. When our children act out, they're calling for help, but they don't know how to articulate it. So we can, as adults, pause and start with our children. Then again, that generational dysfunction, that generational disconnect, we can stop it, and we can start a new positive trend in love, in authentic forgiveness, no judgment, and it'll just, you know, we plant the seeds and it'll flourish. And with that,
awesome,
I pass.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gina. And I want you to hold yourself live on the line. We have another caller on, and we appreciate your awesome commentary. And that's what we need. We got to understand. But we have another caller on the line. I want to make sure I get to them because you all both pushed to number one about the same time. So let's give the caller who has the last four digit 6908. You are now live. You can leave the locate, give us your location, name if you choose to, and offer your comments or your expertise in regards to black love.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Yes, my name is Carl Chapman, and I'm from California. Much love to you, Tina.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to, owning my own troop. I had the unique opportunity to be a guest speaker at one of her empowerment functions. And I'll never forget, the time that I had there. Really, really enjoyed that. Your sister just told me that you were on, so I just chimed in. I didn't know I could chime in. She let me know. And just real quick, I'm going to keep this short and simple. Because you're the only person I heard speak prior to the young lady that just spoke. And I agree with both of you and everything you said about black love. And just to reiterate, for me, like I said, it always begins with self. When I was, a drug addict for many, many years. I got 16 years clean and sober, and I work in mental health, and I'm the lead substance abuse program for a company right out here in San Diego. And I work every day to try to help other people change their lives through my own testimony and being an advocate for social change and social justice. But that being said, I remember my sponsor telling me one day, he says, man, do you love your children? I got three boys and I got 10 grandkids. And I said, yeah, I love my kids. And he says, well, how is that? He was trying to make a point. He says, well, you love your kids, right? He said, yeah. He says, well, do you love yourself? And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, then why do you keep going, why do you keep using drugs? Why do you keep going back to prison? You know what I'm saying? Why do you keep doing these things you do if you love yourself, right? It made sense, right, to me. So, he says, if you don't love yourself, there's no way that you can love another human being or another person or your own children or your spouse or your partner or anybody else because, that love, it has to start with within. It can't start with, from the outside. It has to be an inside process, right? Love has to be something that you already possess within yourself. And if you can love yourself, like Michael Jackson said, if you can look in the mirror and you're comfortable with that person looking back at you, then, you can go out and, give away that to someone else. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I walked to you and asked you for $10 and you only had six, then you can't give me what I need because you don't possess it. So love someone, to respect someone, to have those type of things. If you wanna be, that type of person in life, then you first have to, you have to own it. You have to have it within yourself. So Tina talked about healing that inner child. That's all part of it. You know what I'm saying? You have to go back and you got to do the work. And it's very difficult and it can be very painful. But once you can come to grips, with the pain that you've experienced and know that, hey, well, maybe it wasn't my fault. And then there's that, those areas of forgiveness in the first part is that you have to forgive yourself. You know what I'm saying? And then you can go to forgive someone else. But it's the most important thing is you have to love yourself and you have to be able to forgive yourself for whatever it is that you need to forgive yourself for. And it's different for each one of us, So, we have this, the things that are going on in our communities and with our children. I think that's a good point that the young lady mentioned earlier. We need to educate our children. We need to let them know who they are. We need to be aware of our past and who we are as a people because we come from greatness, we've been educated through the media, through books, through every form of that's out there that puts out information has always been very degrading to us in the bigger sense, Then when we are people of kings and queens and our contributions to this world are vast and significant and many. But a lot of times those things get lost because You know, our children are taught that in the schools that educate our children. So we as parents exactly. need to educate ourselves so that we can give that information to our children. So when they do have to go to public schools, because it's very difficult because we don't own our own institution, that they are aware of who they are. You know what I'm saying? And they don't fall prey to this misinformation that's been given to our children. So they know that they can accomplish and be anything that they choose to be in this world, and they don't have to think that they're less than. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
awesome.
Society is trying to tell them that. You know, so
that's
but
awesome.
I really appreciate what you guys are doing. You know, this whole program. I'm excited. I'll have to. You know, anytime this program is on, I'm going to try to find a way to, you know, to be part of it and listen to what you guys have to say.
Thank you
for giving me a platform just now. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Love you, Tina.
Appreciate you for joining us.
Thank you, brother.
That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. The calling number is 347-857-4192. You know, just press 1 and I'll make sure I get you live so you can chat with us and share your thoughts. Now, as we was talking, I appreciate everything that's been said. We want to kind of look at, again, the issues. We talked about the issues of self-loving. You know, self-love is being missing within in cases within ourselves. But besides that, not being able to project whatever we feel to other people, we're projecting negative things to them now. We want to also look at something else in Black love that's created in the 21st century that continue to create problems in our culture. We have a large number, like I said, there's no filter when we talk about it, because Black love means we Black men, Black women get together, loving each other, the brothers and sisters loving each other, everybody loving each other. But what we're having in our culture is a multitude of unwanted children. And those unwanted children are experiencing some things in their home where they're not being loved. So they're coming out to a sense producing, and we're kind of moving farther and farther away from truly this outstanding culture we have. We're moving far and far. Then we allow some other things to happen to dilute this, and whatever sometimes portrayed on television is not true of when you see about the culture. Don't believe everything you see on the television, because some you have to understand the purpose of that. But self-love, something you develop from sometimes seeing other people. Gina said something real important about, we talk about people being alcoholics and talking about hereditary to be an alcoholic. You know, I can use myself personal. Both my mom and dad smoked. But out of the 7 or 8 children, only one smoked. Sisters and siblings, only one. So just because they smoke, that don't mean you have to smoke. Sometimes we have to dispel these so-called myths that they have among us. You know, if you go to the doctor asks you if your parents got high blood pressure, you're diabetic, you know, so all of a sudden, the first thing you want to do is prescribe you something for that. Just assuming you that. If our families, what we have to do, when I say we have a lot, we have unwanted children, if we got to, you know, love our children. You know, one of the things that bothers me, and Tina, I just want to say that as well as Gina, when somebody said, you know, a child was a mistake, not a creation of God. Never is a mistake. When people ask, hold up, you said the child was a mistake? That wasn't no mistake. God ordained that to happen.
Yeah.
So now this child being identified as a mistake is being treated as unwanted. Think about that.
Right.
So love is not shared with them. So those young people have a tendency to don't know how to share that love once they or since they haven't experienced it. But Jenna said something so important. I say this pretty much all the time. If you're not used to seeing it, be the first one to start it.
Yes.
Be the first one to start it. If you haven't seen it, whatever you're practicing now, and it is positive in the form of your understanding of love, self-love, how you understand whatever face of love in a relationship, make that the foundation right there.
That's what you have to do. So children being treated in the 21st century as being unwanted, and a lot of them feel that way, so they find somebody that's going to tell them they love them. When somebody tells them they love them, they follow right behind those people. What we have to do,
right.
if it's our DNA, our children, we have to make sure we tell them that we love them and mean it.
Yeah.
Don't tell them to
if
love
I
them.
Say,
tell, I'm, yeah, go ahead, Auntie Tim. Jump in right there.
Okay. I was a young mother, and I'm grateful to say that I have four gifts from God. My oldest was my divine gift. My second, my son, is my duplicate. My third is my faith child, and my youngest is my angel baby. Literally, literally, these are the qualities. And my special gift child is my unique child. So it's four girls and one boy. And I give God all the glory and honor for them not following in my mistake. They wanted to do better than what they saw me go through, and now living in my truth and owning my own truth, they understand that now it was a part of my process to, you know, break the generational curse of silence of what one may be going through. All I can think of is hearing the fact that it's a lot of unwanted children. Their parents are being influenced by the media. You know, young girls are being viewing videos or subject matter on TV that they're going to get this bag because that father may have this money, or the man feel like he want to trap her or hold her down, so he want to impregnate her so she'll stop stripping or doing whatever she's doing to live that fast life. The truth of the matter is they're trying to fill voids in their life that they don't even comprehend that they have. You know, they just feel like, you know, not having been reared with the proper structure of love. So they have that void. They know they want that compassion or that affection or to feel validated. So even going to abusive situations, just to be told that on one hand, I love you, and then turn around and have that stumped out of you by the person that say, I love you, that I was having a bad day, so you just need to accept it. So I'm having a bad day, so I'm going to call you out your name, but that's just who I am. No. If things like this is making you uncomfortable, even on to even giving birth to a child, or even before you get to that point of giving birth to a child, before you even sleep with this person, you know what I'm saying? A lot of us in this new culture and in this new millennial life, a lot of these young girls don't even know these men's last name before they become pregnant. You know, so we have to go back to understanding who you are, you know, what you will and will not deal with. What are what is your self-worth in how you bed this person down, you know, in order in even not even protecting yourself against all the diseases. It's like we totally have to get back to the village, you know, of each one, teach one, reach one, and stop holding in information, because a lot of the young people, they're curious. They're being curious. They're being influenced by the social media and whatnot, and we need to get that the structure back. And unfortunately, I was at a repath a few weeks ago for a young man, and it was beautiful to see the culture, the black young people migrate together in mourning and celebrating this young man's life. But, you know, the atmosphere is, you know, everybody drinking and smoking weed and doing whatever. And to be outside of that picture and look at these young people hurting, it's like, where is the mother? Where is the father? Yes. Where is the structure? Yes. You know, the mother smoking and kicking it and drinking it with the kids. I never did that, and I thank God that I never kicked it with my kids like that. But just now, today, it's just so open. It's like the young mothers and fathers, they kicking it or hanging out like they're best friends. And that's how we're having this massive genocide, you know, against one another. You know, because there's no structure, there's no boundaries, there's no self-respect on who's of authority and who isn't. And it's like, okay, if you're not going to respect me, I'm just going to take your life. And again,
exactly.
Being an advocate
exactly.
in these streets, I'm seeing so much death that it's just disheartening. And I have to stay prayed up and stay covered to not, you know, be
yeah.
consumed with the grief of why are our own people, you know, creating genocide against one another. And it goes a little further, and I'm going to stop, is that self-sabotage or systematic genocide, everything being
yes.
strategically placed in our inner cities, the drugs, the alcohol, the guns, right there, boom. It's like a rat trap, you know? You had to
yes,
have those little mazes to get the cheese, to get the hustle, to get the bag. Sometimes you
yeah,
get caught up
yeah.
in that trap, and sometimes you might slip through it, but it's somebody else waiting to take you out. So we got to get back to the culture of having authority figures that are there
mm-hmm.
to teach our young people, not to
yes,
blend
yes.
in with them, but to teach them and bring them up out of the systematic genocide. And with that, I pass.
Exactly. And we have to keep in mind that these are the kind of things we must focus on. We have to just pull the cover back and look truly to see what's going on within our culture. And we're
mm-hmm.
talking about black love. We're talking about what does it mean to you. And you have to ask yourself. You know, we were just talking about children being unwanted, people just getting together. Tina had mentioned, you know, people just having babies, don't even know people's last name, don't know the dude's last name. But for us to solve that problem, because it's an issue in our culture in the 21st century, we have to work toward having two-parent homes. We got to make sure we be careful who we lay down with. You know, I always say when you allow somebody to get into that temple, which is your temple, when they enter into that, your spirit and your soul, they don't just go away because they're no longer in your life. It could be that attachment of a child. And when we talk, when children not able to see the love and the right love, even with their parents, you know, they ask, where is my dad? Who is my dad? I want to know who my dad is so I can what? I can understand that maybe one day asking the question, did you ever love my mama? Did you just lay down with her? You ask the mama the same way. So these are the kind of things, these are how we work toward solutions toward that issue of unwanted children and black men and women having a whole lot of children that causing a problem, like we have a multitude of children. We have to now start focusing going into not only the 2020s and advocating to our millennials that you have something to live for. We expect you to carry this banner truly into the 23rd, the 22nd century, because we'll be soon, you know, I was thinking the other day, I said, man, it's 80 years from now, we'll be looking at 2100. And in my mind, wait a minute, come on, we couldn't adapt to 1999 and use the 2000. Now we're talking about we're going to have to make the adjustment. Let's start pulling together, working it out, understanding what black love is, and what we're going to do right now. We're going to talk about how special it is, how special black love. Once you're able to identify what black love is, you can see how special it is. You know, black love is the potential of a romantic situation. That's what black love is all about. It's a bond between black Americans or African Americans, however you want to go, where we share a cultural and a history. That's why it's so special. You know what makes it special? Because we share our culture with one another. We share our history. The history has been diluted by many people.
Yeah.
We have to understand what our history is. And don't allow a book to tell us what our history is. One of the things that, as Tina mentioned about a village, it takes a whole village to raise a child. Let's think about where that comes from. That comes from our ancestors. When they was brought over, they was taken from tribes, and the whole village helped raise that one boy, that one girl. We have to get back to that because, and then in the process, during that time, they was teaching cultural, teaching history. We have to have somebody in your family. Black love is all about having somebody in your family can live to tell a story. And what I mean by that, your history should be carried on from generation to generation to generation. You have to make sure you, if it's your son, make sure if it's your daughter, make sure they understand what the history of you and the history of your grandparents, what's the history, what's the cultural. Understand that. That's how we, that's black love.
Yeah,
that's a bond. We have to continue to do that. We have gotten away, we're getting away from that, and what we have to do is go back to that. Continue to allow this history and our culture to carry on. We can do it by telling a story. Have a storyteller. Even in the villages of Africa, there were storytellers.
Yeah.
We have storytellers now, but we don't spend enough time allowing them to hear the full story so they can tell a story.
Yeah.
Black love, that's love for your own culture, love for the history that we have created. It is, no one can change the history. They may try to, and they, if they do, it's because you allow them to do it. We have to keep that in mind, and when we're focusing on how we're going to move and see how special black love is, we look at how it affects our culture, how it affects our history. It's a bond that gives us that clear understanding of our cultural, clear understanding of the history, black Americans and African Americans. We have to understand that. And that's going to propel us where we need to go. Now we can understand black love. We can understand, we can love our brothers and our sisters. That's what it's all about. We have to make sure we take time to understand our culture. Don't be afraid. Don't let nobody convince you not to, because you'll find out it's so beautiful and you can love it. And love would be talking about it. Love is talking about living it. Love is about putting the work in. Love is sharing it and making sure it passed on from generation, 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 generation. That's black love.
Yeah.
It's a romantic bond between black Americans, African Americans.
Amen.
Willing to share their culture, willing to share our history with one another. That's what it's all about. Tenny, want to share anything about that?
Yes.
I didn't mean that. Go ahead,
man. No, go ahead, Gina.
I was just thinking about a phrase that a group of people that Brother Carl and I fellowship with, and one of our leaders often says, love is what love does, and love empowers you. It doesn't break you down. It doesn't condemn you. It builds you up. And also I want to encourage individuals that haven't seen Hidden Colors, not Hidden Figures, but Hidden Colors, and it gives you an in-depth look of the history of melanated people, African-American, African individuals, in our struggle, and it gives a history that we don't see often about when we were kings and queens, and that's part of the struggle, because so many people that don't have the desire to go beyond the books, go beyond what we've been taught in school. If the parents don't do it, if it's not done in the household, then people tend to stay stuck, and they believe the vision that we see on TV. The TV is telling a vision. We grasp to that. People imitate what they see, and it's not reality. Even the reality TV shows are not reality. They're scripted. Just ask one of them from the show. The more ignorant, indignant they behave, the more ratings they get. But at the same time, they're not looking at the impact that they're leaving on the young women. You know, those women, and you know, disrespect to any of them, you know, get your money like you know you need to, but you in $1,000 dresses, $1,000 shoes, face beat, you know, made up, and you're indignant, you're cursing each other out and fighting. What message is that sending young women? You know, and that's where you have to pause and take some accountability, because many of those women on those shows have children, have families that's watching that, and it's, you know, it gets in your spirit, and I may a decision a few years ago, like, I can't do this because this isn't an authentic reflection of who we are as women, as African-American women, as educated women, as mothers. Mm-hmm. So I made that choice to get it out of the system. But just to reiterate, if, you know, people can go online and Google hidden colors, and I'm positive it'll blow your mind just to see a different perspective of who we are, gain a different perspective of who we are as a people, and that we are survivors. And that is what is authentic about Black love. I can't speak on love of any other race and nationality because I'm not that, but I can speak on the depths of that connection that we have with one another when we come in the presence. Now, it isn't always felt, but in many cases, it is. It's like meeting a long-lost family member. You know this because you've been told, but once you see that individual face-to-face, you feel a connection that's greater than yourself, and you just flow in it. I had the pleasure of experiencing that, meeting, you know, a load of cousins that I didn't know exist. And my only regret was that my father, just my father's side of the family, that he wasn't alive to see that connection. But it was a gift that keeps on giving. And to touch on, you know, having unwanted children, that, you know, being in my maturity now, I do certainly understand the significance of, number one, valuing myself. When you value yourself, you're not just going to share yourself with just anyone. You want to invest. You want to do your research before you connect with that person. Women anatomy is made to receive. And when we connect with that man, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever spirits is in him is now in you when he released that seed in you. We're designed that way for a purpose. And, you know, I learned that through years, you know, and struggling, trying to find love, trying to find external validation, just to come to the reality that I have to validate myself, that no man, not even your family member, can validate you if you're not in agreement. So that's why it's so important to do the work, to learn to love yourself. If you don't know how to, counseling is encouraged, establishing a spiritual relationship with whomever makes that person feel comfortable, that makes them feel secure and releasing into the universe whatever they're carrying, so they can have something positive deposited back in their spirit. And also connecting with like spirit individuals. When you're in the midst of people and something in your spirit tells you that it's not right, you need to believe it. You need to acknowledge it. And then remove yourself from that situation. That's people you like, people you've been involved with. Sometimes it's even family, you know, and that's a hurtful reality. But because we share the same blood doesn't mean that we share the same views and connections. And it doesn't have to be a deal breaker, but you, in your maturity, you realize that, you know, I love you, but we have to do something different. You know, you have to make that judgment for yourself. And it's so many levels to love in general, and then levels, you know, with dealing with people like yourself. Because again, as I stated earlier, it's a lot of wounded people that walk this earth, and too many of us don't get the help we need, you know, to pull those layers back to find out what is it really that has you so broken? What is it really that has you so angry? And in closing, I'll say, you know, my family, my siblings and I, we had the great pleasure of being raised by late Reverend T.C. Robinson and Katie Mae Robinson, our parents. And they gave us what they had. We didn't have a lot of monetary things, but we had their love. We had their stability. Wow. We always knew daddy was coming home. We always knew mama was going to be home. And they instilled self-love. It was up to us to embrace it and build from it. And with that, I pass.
Awesome. I tell you that. Tina, you about to jump in right there?
Yeah, I was just then on the flip side of my process of finding my self-love, being afforded the abundance of unconditional love from my parents, I thought everybody had that love language. And unfortunately, not doing enough research, the individuals that I, in my thought process, tried to love them past their own pain almost cost me my life. And understanding that it was their emotional disconnect from their core upbringing that in their adult stages, or because they were of age and acting, doing adult things, they still were communicating with a child love language or lack of a child's understanding of what true love language was, that I'm here to tell you, I'm here above ground to tell you that, you know, it's very, very needed. It's very, very important to know who you're dealing with, to know who their background is, and understand what their love language is or lack thereof, because you cannot love anybody past their own pain. You absolutely cannot. And again, I give all the glory to God that I'm still alive to tell you that, you know, when you have those red flags, you see those red flags, you even hear the alarms, evacuate, you know, get out of Dodge, because you cannot, you cannot absolutely love anybody past their own pain. You cannot. And I also encourage you all to, you know, be willing to do self-work, learn who you are, understand the importance of your own relationship with the reflection that peers back out of you, at you from the mirror. You know, that's very important, you know, and continue to be honest. You know, be honest with yourself. If you fall, get back up. Don't beat yourself up. Love yourself enough to say, okay, I forgive you, but get back up and start this new day. The Lord bless us with breath in our lungs to start another day. You know, get back up and continue to love yourself and love those who are willing and receptive, and pray for those who don't know how to receive what your love language is. And with that, I pass.
Exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome, Tina. I can tell you now. So we have to kind of identify and understand when we were talking about love, and we're talking about specifically black love, what it means to you. You know, you check yourself, and then you can identify and define black love. Now, some of the things that are create a healthy black love will look like this, and these are just some things we're going to share with you right quick. You know, healthy black love is given freely and willingly. We keep it saying, yeah, I'm willing to give you love. It has to be given freely. But just remember, when you're willing to give that, or freely giving that love to somebody, the black love, make sure it's the one who deserves it. I want you to marinate on that now. If you're willing to give, you're free to give your black love, make sure that person deserves it. Give it to the person that deserves it. Because everyone deserves love, but that doesn't mean they deserve your love. Come on.
Hello.
Just keep it about black love. You know, just because they deserve love, they may not deserve your love. And we got to be able to connect. You heard tonight on here, connect, communicate, self-love, trust, honesty. And see, when I talk about black love and what it should look like, it should look like trusting someone.
Yeah.
Healthy black love is trusting the person who deserves your love.
Yeah.
If you've been giving your love to somebody that don't deserve it, you know what they're going to end up doing? They're going to take it for granted. They would never reciprocate it back to you.
Yeah.
Healthy black love is compassionate.
Yeah.
That's what a healthy black love is, compassionate. It's genuine. We always talk about it's authentic. We always talk about making sure when you're giving black love or giving love in general, make sure it's authentic. Make sure it's genuine. Don't let it come with attachments with it.
Yeah.
If they're doing that, you truly they're not quite understanding. Black love is communication. We talk about in healthy, talk about health now. Healthy black love is communication.
Yeah.
We have to be able to talk to one another. We may have to get together and promote. We're talking about black love, promoting our culture, our history, promoting, black male, black female. And I know some people are going to come, but, sometimes we have to talk. That's the problem. We have to identify and talk among ourselves, and we'll share and let if you are not of this cultural. But communication is in every culture. That's one of the key things. Honesty.
Yeah.
If you're around somebody, they don't deserve your love if they're not honest. Commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between commitment and real commitment? Something that's been said all night. Commitment is all about putting the work in. Come on.
Yeah.
Putting the work in. That's where commitment starts with. If you're not willing to put the work in, you don't deserve my love. I'm just being honest. Devotion. You gotta be devoted to it.
You got to be devoted.
Let's be honest. You're only going to get that love to the person that deserves it. Everybody don't deserve your love. It's not like handing cookies out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This ain't no Girl Scout, Boy Scout, whatever cookie day. You're not, you don't. Have devotion. Look for devotion.
Yeah.
Simply, black love is real. It's pure, and it's not motivated for self-gain.
Yeah.
All of those things, talking about healthy black love, but it's talking about a healthy black healthy relationship. We can tie this into relationship. Everything we say, when we talk about the relationship traits and characteristics, that's one of the things. Want people to be real. It's not based or motivated on what you can gain from me. It's all about me being committed. And it's so important. Black love is so important because it creates a union of black Americans. It makes us stronger. Together we can't be separated. It helps us to move forward. It helps us to reach back and understand our culture and understand our history. And I tell you, we got one more call. I want to make sure I get them on with the last four digits because they've been waiting a minute, and I'm hopefully they're still there. The caller with the last four digits of 6901. Share your name, location, if you choose to, and also your expertise. Yes.
I'm Isaac from Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Black Wall Street.
Okay.
I'm the grandson. I'm the grandson of a survivor.
Amen.
Oh, awesome.
It's an honor. Amen. It's an honor.
Well, you said what is black love? It's black love is multifaceted. I was one of the things that I think that would allow us to really understand the value of black love is, during the course of slavery, there were three things that were taken from us. There was the science of business, the science of war, and the science of mating. The science of mating. And the science of mating being the most important one, because if you don't understand the nature of a thing, you cannot properly give it its just due. And so black love has to be studied in such a way that the male and the female have to understand the nature of one another. And that's the problem, in my humble opinion, in the black community, is we don't understand the nature of one another. So that's why there's so much mistreatment among us. And what I will say is, from a man's perspective, though, black men have for too long have not valued themselves in such
a way in relationships
where it's hard to give the woman to give the woman her just due, because he doesn't know his value, because we live in a world that has always told us we ain't nothing. And so it's been hard. Even I can say for myself, I grew up in a home where my father was very abusive. And so I was just the opposite. You know, a lot of times men grow up and be abusers because they watch it. But what I ended up doing in relationships until I got old and understood what I was doing is I shrunk my own value trying to overcompensate so much, trying not to be like my father. So I would shrink my value in relationships. So I think that not knowing the nature of a thing and not knowing the value, black love looks like knowing the value of one another, valuing the value of each other. I think that I think right there, and I'm gonna tell you that it's so important. You know, my wife, may God be pleased with her, left. She passed away a couple of years ago, and matter of fact, November 1st. But we had such a beautiful relationship because we always said this: whenever we got into it, we always established that no matter how bad the argument was, that we still loved each other, no matter what. I still love you even though you're getting on my damn nerves.
We established
to always attack the issue and not each other.
Come on now.
That's all.
Preach.
There you go, brother.
And that's
there you go,
so
brother.
Yes, sir. And actually, if I can announce it, I don't know. I wrote a book about our love story because she had breast cancer. And the name of the book is called I Said I Do. I Said I Do, So I Am. And it's talking about the journey that we went on before she passed away. It was a love story. It was a love story, a black love story, along with the fight of cancer and what we went through up until she passed away. But so I got an idea. I got an idea what black love is. I got somewhat of an idea.
That's awesome.
I
thank
need
you,
your
brother.
Information.
Yeah. And I tell you what we're going to do is you can let me give you my email. Let me give it to him, Tina. Then we can forward it to each other, okay? Brother, if you have an opportunity, my email is Lorenza, L-O-R-E-N-Z-A.
Let me get a say it again now.
It's Lorenza, L-O-R-E-N-Z-A, D as in David.
L-O-R.
E-N-Z-A.
Uh-huh.
D as in David. Smith, S-M-I-T-H. 15@gmail.com.
15@gmail.com. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, just get that to us, and we'll make sure we'll move the information around. And, brother, I really appreciate it for you joining us and sharing that with us because that's what we need. We really need the input.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank
again,
you.
My brother.
Yeah, I appreciate you so much.
Okay. Awesome. Now, we have about two more minutes to go, and that brother, we appreciate him calling in from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and sharing his thoughts. Now, I want to give a shout-out to people that's joining us on Facebook. Tina, we're at the end of the show, and I want you to close it out, you know, with your thoughts. We got about 1 minute and 50 seconds, so I want to give a shout-out to Belinda Samples, member Zeta Phi Beta Incorporated, Nicole Sharon Brown, member Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Kim Sellers Bate, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Nicole Davidson, down there from McKenzie, Alabama, one of my students, Paul Askew, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Lola Bowden, she's joining us as well, Marvin Smith, thank you, Marvin, Judy Smith joining us, Karis Patterson, Titania Sally Owens, thank you, Tate Pickett, Inspired and Inspired Ministry, she's the owner as well as the founder, co-owner of that, and CEO. We also have Erica Butler. She's joined the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and LaShawn Long is joining us. So those are the with about 3 or 4 seconds. Tina, Gina, if you want to drop in and say goodbye, we appreciate it because we're going to lose everybody about 50 seconds.
Okay, this is Tina Robinson, founder. Go, Gina.
Go ahead, baby.
This is founder of Owning My Own Truth. I just want to thank God for putting this spirited, beautiful conversation with Dr. Lowe on this blog talk. Looking forward to more conversations. October 31st, 14, 28, 61st, First Ave, Oakland, California. Only My Own Truth is hosting a day of remembrance in honor of survivors of cancer, those lost to COVID-19, domestic violence awareness. Please inbox me or Dr. Lowe for more information. That's October 31st, 2020. God bless you. And as we say in Owning My Own Truth, we love you to life.
Love you to life.
Awesome, awesome. And we appreciate both of them for joining us. Thank you so much. We have Tina and Gina joining us, those twin sisters, and they're doing an awesome job. Thank you for the support. And we just look forward to having you on in 2 weeks as well. Y'all can join us anytime. Brother Pratt will be back with us then. And giving a shout-out to each and every one of y'all. As we said, tell your family member, your friend, your significant other, a spouse, or whatever, that you love them and mean it. And always say in our hashtag, you know, number one, you always have to make sure in the hashtag that you one life matter. That's the hashtag. Next hashtag, responsible. The next hashtag, communicate for understanding. The next hashtag is keep on grinding. And last but not least, as we get ready to close this thing out, we're going to just tell you it comes from my heart because it's just truly from my heart and from my soul. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. We'll check you out. Come in here in 2 weeks. Bye.
Love you.
Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you.